From the Land de Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 27th day of June, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Chad Hart, agricultural economist from Iowa State University and Iowa State University Extension, will join us to give us his take on the commodity markets and where things are right now today ahead of the Thursday USDA reports. Grain stocks and acreage numbers are due out on that day at 11 a.m. You can catch them here on our website, by the way, at that time at willag.org. And you can always pick up the weather forecast, too, in the Closing Market Report. Today, we'll talk with Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics right here on this Monday edition of our program from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today at $7.44 and a quarter, down 6 cents for the day. September at $6.61 and a quarter, 21 and a half lower. And December futures down 21 cents at $6.53. July soybeans up 19 and three quarters, settled $16.30 and a half. The November at $14.32 and three quarters, that's the new crop, 8.5 cents higher. Bean meal futures up $10.10. The bean oil futures $1.07 higher for the day. Wheat futures in the soft red were down 19 and three quarters at $9.04. That for the July contract. And the hard red July at $9.72 and three quarters, down 19 and three quarters of a cent. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished at $133.47 and a half, 10 cents higher. Feeders were up $1.62 and a half at $174.12 and a half, and lean hogs at $104.87 and a half, down $1.90. Crude oil about $1.96 a barrel higher at $109.56. Diesel fuel up 12 and 2 tenths of a cent. Gasoline down 4 and 2 tenths of a cent. The wholesale price there on the Arabob now at $3.74 and 2 tenths of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 28 points lower, and the S&P 500 down 7.5 points for the afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to discuss all the marketplace for the day. Hi, Kurt. Thank you for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Kurt Kimmel, can you tell me about the weekend trade, overnight that is, and the day trade for corn in particular?
Well, we had some better expected rains going home there on Friday. We was expecting anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch on about 30% coverage, but I know locally here we received over 2.5 inches of rain. So as that system moved on eastward, it was a little lighter, a little bit hit and miss type of activity, a lot of half inch, 1 inch in some areas. It's taken the edge off for the most part. And we're in a position now where we'll see if we receive some additional rain or not. The other thing, too, is the trade's watching the south. The southern part, we're seeing that they are starting to enter this pollination time frame. And so it's going to be critical for them to receive some cooler temperatures and some rain because they're kind of underneath that dome. But for the most part, the rain around, end of the month, end of the quarter, and just a slowdown in export news kind of limited the buying interest as, well, we've seen the commodity funds come in and sell some additional contracts. Not as heavy as last week, but they sold about 8,000 corn, and they would turn around. They bought a couple thousand beans here going into midday.
So not as heavy as last week, but of course, by the time we get to Thursday of this week, we'll have some USDA reports. The grain stocks figures and the acreage numbers due out. What is the trade expecting from them?
On corn, on the quarterly grain stocks report, I think the average guess is about 4.3 billion bushels. And a year ago, we were about 4.1. And the significance of that is that we're seeing much stronger basis levels. And in fact, talking to guys on the elevator board and some elevators, they're really saying we've got less grain than a year ago, as much on corn particularly, as, you know, 10 to 15% less. So we'll see where we are on that corn number. The bean stocks expected to be about 965 million bushels. A year ago, we were at 769 million bushels. Now, this is the quarterly stocks report. This is not the the ending stocks, the bottom line. This is where we are as of 1st of June here. So it'll kind of measure how the demand picture is going in through here. And I think that's kind of the key here, because we heard the same story here about 2-3 years ago. You know, we've got plenty of stocks around, but truth be known, it was much lesser than that due to the fact demand was much better, or else they overestimated the crop. Then as far as the acreage report goes, that's going to be a tough one because the producers, corn that Northwest, were still trying to put some of the crop in. Average trade guess for corn acreage is 89.8 million acres versus the March 31st, 89.4. And beans, 90.4 million versus 90.9 million. There's trade estimates all over the place. For the most part, the corn estimates could be as much as 1 million higher, 1 million lower, and the bean estimates about a million higher there. So we'll see how those numbers fall. But as we hit on commodity week last week, the bottom line is what type of yield you put on, Todd.
Yeah, and in this set of reports, it feels like there could be a couple of surprises, maybe even in the acreage, if it hasn't changed very much at all. And I know the trade's not looking for that big of a change, but if it hasn't changed or acreage actually increases slightly, that would be an interesting thing to see on Thursday morning. And then the grain stocks number, if what you alluded to is correct, and the grain elevator system is saying we don't have this grain here, either it's in the bin and we'll see it on the home numbers, or it's simply not there. Which do you think is the case?
You hit the nail on the head there. The other part of that analytical approach is on farm storage. Yes, that could be the surpriser there, where we held a little bit more on farm. But you know, traditionally, producer likes to empty out that bin, but he might not empty it out here just yet.
Well, what are we looking forward to otherwise this week? The rainfall seemed to do a pretty good shot across much of the Midwest. Has that taken the weather market away for at least the time being?
Short term here, and I think that's built in. The second part of the weather scenario is some of those forecasters are producing some more moisture here as we go through the 4th of July weekend. So if that would materialize here, we could be in a pattern here where we could be spoon-feeding this crop. And if that's the case, then it's going to be awful hard to get real bullish and go up and make some new highs. So it's kind of in the hands of the weatherman in through here. If we continue to see some hit-and-miss rain here and there, the yield probably will hold in there for the most part. The other thing, too, is the timed of when the crop went in. Some of the analysts are looking at a lot of this crop's going to pollinate all at once, so we'll have to watch that forecast when that occurs.
What are producers asking most often when they call you these days? And maybe they're just saying, hey, I'm short of herbicide, or that's what I think's happening across the Midwest, and that's going to be an issue for yield in the end as well.
Yeah, that's I saw a couple articles on that, trying to get those last inputs. A little problem there, and so we'll see how that unfolds. Anhydrous pretty well, sidedress pretty well, went quick. The crop's off there, but the spraying part, even the fungicide, is questionable. Some areas there too, but I wish I could, I should have, would have. That $7 plus was looking pretty good. For those wanting to play catch-up in through here, we're establishing some courage calls. So when we do go up, you can pull that trigger and try to capture some of those higher prices here as we start to move into the middle of July.
Hey, thanks so much, Kurt.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Though you'll find our daily agricultural programming to listen to and play off the podcast players at any point in the 24-hour day that you would like. There are a few other places on the web that you probably should visit as well. I think you ought to check out the Farm Doc Daily website each and every day. There you'll find a new article by one of the agricultural economists from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On Tuesdays, Gary Schnitke normally would write an article and post it, so you'll check that out tomorrow. Otherwise, you'll find articles on agricultural policy and all kinds of other issues related to the agricultural economy, not only from the U of I, but guest articles from Purdue, Ohio State, and other places across the Midwest. It's all on the Farm Doc Daily website. One other note before we move on for the day, our theme music here at the Closing Market Report is performed and produced and written in courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer, my brother, Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Chad Hart, agricultural economist from Iowa State University with Extension. Thank you so much, Chad, for being with us. I want you to recap last week for me and what you think happened there, and then we'll move on.
Well, it was a rougher week on the markets for the most part. We took a lot of air out of the sales, and I think I describe it as we hit a reset button. You know, for a lot of, especially in the crop markets, what we basically did was we brought our prices back down to where we were at the, you know, end of March, beginning of April, sort of just like we were sort of waiting to see what prospective plantings did to us back then. We're waiting to see what the acreage report does for us now. And so we've set ourselves up in the same pricing position. We saw some of the specs get out of the way, waiting for these reports. And I think sitting on the sidelines, waiting to see if they need to jump back in again, like we saw them do with prospective plantings.
So what do we know about the reports that are coming up on Thursday? These are the June 30 acreage report and the grain stocks numbers as of June 1 that we can talk about now as we head into them, because this reset really isn't going to last for very long.
No, it's not going to last for very long. And I think, you know, those reports have even more importance than they do in what I would call an average year. And I'll describe it this way. I'm really interested the acreage report for corn, but I'm concentrating more on the grain stocks report as we look for soybeans. And the reason I'm going to say I'm looking at it that way is because I think when we're looking at corn, we're just trying to figure out, okay, how much really did get planted? We know there were planting delays out there. We know there was definitely some resculpting of what farmers intended to plant to what they actually did get planted. How much movement did we see out there, and did we see some, for lack of a better term, boomerang action, where maybe some land that was intended for beans may have ended up in corn? On the flip side, for the stocks report, beans have had some fairly strong, especially international demand pushes over the past few months. I'm looking to see, do we continue to see that sort of mix out there, and how's that showing up when we're looking at those stocks? Because let's face it, the stock levels were projected to be fairly tight by USDA as we're looking to close out the 21 marketing year. And given the export numbers, I gotta believe they're going to have to tighten that up even more. And so the stocks report will tell us just how much is left out there.
When you mention boomerang as it relates to corn acres, are you of a mind that while North Dakota, for instance, corn acres might go down, that those might be made up by the rest of the Corn Belt, and consequently the opposite for soybean, meaning North Dakota put more soybeans in the ground?
A little bit of that, but it's also one of these, you know, cases of, we know North Dakota is likely going to be down sort of across the board, corn and beans up there. You know, they both took a hit. There was going to be some prevented planting, a sizable portion up there. That's going to be the challenge. I think, to me, I am watching, I'll call it the eastern and southern Corn Belt areas, to see, okay, what sort of shifts did we see? Because, you know, it was the southern and eastern parts of the country that were able to get out a little earlier than what we saw in the northern and western parts. And did that move a bit earlier mean possibly a bit more corn being planted than farmers had originally intended.
And on the grain stocks numbers, before we get to the export figures as it's related to soybean, can you deal with corn, the livestock industry, and ethanol industry, the primary poles domestically in the United States, and what you think that number will look like for corn?
Well, that's the deal. I think when we're looking here, the feed number, you know, we've been seeing USDA pulling that down as they're looking forward, mainly because I think, you know, the drought, especially on the cattle side, has pushed those animals to be moved a lot already. Yeah, we've got a lot on, in fact, you know, cattle on feed report basically showed we continue to grow that number up, but there's this expectation that's going to come down in the coming months. The interesting one there to me is ethanol, because when you look at the ethanol industry, it has been reaching back up into those levels we're used to seeing pre-COVID as we're looking out there. And now the question is, can we bust beyond that? And at least right now, you know, what I've been seeing in the weekly data shows that we're not necessarily going to produce all that much more, you know, but we are seeing those stock levels being drained down. And so that means likely that the ethanol industry will continue to pull through a lot of corn, especially as we go through the late summer months.
Finally, for the soybeans, how do you see the grain stocks number laying out for you there?
Well, that's the deal. I am looking for this to be fairly tight. I mean, the idea is that what we've continued to see, especially once the war started in Ukraine, we saw the international markets hit another gear, and we're approaching the levels that we saw at this time last year. So you're talking about record amount of bushels going into the international market to finish out the year. And so that's got to mean that those stock levels are really tight. And I'm going to argue probably what we're seeing is that I'm also interested in seeing just how much is left on farm versus what's already in commercial hands, because I'm going to guess most of it that's in commercial hands has already moved on to its final marketing place.
And how much do you think will be on farm, and will it move into the marketplace soon enough?
I think it will move in soon enough, but I'm going to guess it this way. You know, given that we are worried about, you know, droughty conditions possibly impacting this year's crop, I think a lot of folks are waiting for that period of time between the 4th of July and, say, you know, 3 weeks after that. I think we'll see that crop move out of farmers' hands into the marketing chain.
And if crop conditions in the United States are normal between now and then, what happens to new crop prices as opposed to old crop prices?
Well, that's the deal. I think when we look here, those new crop prices, they've sort of reset back down now as we're looking out there. If we stay on normal, like if you look at where our crop conditions are right now, the corn crop's running just a bit above the five-year average in terms of those good to excellent conditions. The soybean crop is right on its five-year average. If we hold here, I think that's the deal. That's where why prices have sort of reset here. Right now, if you had to guess, you're going to guess that right now this crop looks just good enough to hold us where we are.
Hey, thank you, Chad.
Thank you, sir.
That's Chad Hart. He's an agricultural economist at Iowa State University in Ames. On this Monday, let's check in with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Thank you, Mark, for being with us. Can you tell me about the weekend rainfall across the Corn Belt? There were some places that dearly needed that rainfall that did catch some, others that didn't. Across the whole of the Corn Belt, who did and who did not get rain?
Yeah, hi, Todd. Yeah, looking at the rainfall totals over the weekend, the heaviest rains were in eastern Iowa and then much of Illinois. And obviously those are areas that had been very dry and greatly in need of moisture. So it was a significant shot in the arm for those areas. Getting outside of that though, things were, you know, on the dry side. That was the case across much of the Western Belt, with the exception of way up north in the areas of the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota. And then much of Indiana eastward was on the dry side as well.
This was a passing cool front, I believe, or was it simply a ring of fires? What was it that triggered the storms?
Yeah, a lot of it actually tied to these complexes of thunderstorms that developed Friday night on into Saturday, and then that kind of sparked some new development throughout the day and evening hours on Saturday. So kind of out ahead of a cold front crossing across the region and resulting in very widespread and heavy rains, particularly in eastern Iowa and Illinois.
How heavy?
Totals ranged anywhere from 1 to 3 inches, some localized higher amounts across those areas.
This was more than expected, I assumed, and broader coverage than expected.
Yeah, in fact, there's basically no computer model guidance here projecting the wide scale nature of these rains, even within the 24 hours leading up to the event. So that was the biggest surprise, and especially the areas that picked up over, 2, 3 inches of rain.
What do you expect for this week?
Well, Todd, looking ahead, the rest of this week is actually going to be on the drier side now across the Corn Belt, with temperatures seasonal to slightly warmer than normal towards the end of the week. The next opportunity for better rains is going to be coming up here over the holiday weekend and then on into next week. And that does look to provide at least a better setup for rains and the potential for the development of, again, these thunderstorm complexes and some areas, seeing heavier rainfall. But picking out those specific areas is pretty challenging right now. But we are estimating that at least for next week across the Midwest, kind of starting on Sunday, that approximately 60 to 65% of the Corn Belt will pick up significant amounts.
That is good news for those who are hoping for a good yield across the Midwest for corn and soybeans. Have you thought much about the month of July and what it really looks like?
Yeah, certainly here. The item to watch is the location of the ridge of high pressure. And the ridge has been kind of moving around. Last week and the past couple of weeks, it's been directly over the Midwest at times. Over the first half or so of July, it does look like it's going to oscillate further west and be in areas over the Intermountain West and at times into the plains. There's some kind of conflicting signals longer term as to whether that ridge moves further east. So that's going to be the thing to watch the second half of the month. And do we have more of an eastward push of the ridge? If that does take place more into the Midwest or directly over the Midwest, then that does begin to increase the risk of more significant heat and suppressed rainfall there during the second half of the month, which would then coincide with the bulk of corn pollination. But still TBD here, and at least through the first half or so of July, we don't see anything that looks, overly threatening, especially for the central and eastern Corn Belt.
Thank you very much. We'll talk with you again in 2 weeks because next week, of course, is July 4th.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. There you can play our content. Just click and play from the top of the page or hit the podcast link, and you'll find podcast players. And in each of those, one for Commodity Week, one for the Closing Market Report, and one for the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast, you'll find a way to subscribe to our podcast in places like Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, NPR One, Stitcher, and many, many more, including Amazon Music. You have a great afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.